Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. 3 weeks ago, I did a program about President Trump bringing more law enforcement into the nation's capital to clean up the city. And the big story in this, which tells us everything we need to know about the left, was the rage against Trump's law enforcement policies. President Trump just mentioned the other day in regard to Chicago that over the weekend, 11 people were shot and killed and 28 wounded. And the governor of Illinois, Pritzker, says Chicago is a safe city and he has crime under control. And when we hear statements like this, aren't we amazed at the two different worldviews, two different moral compasses, two different attitudes? For one person, crime is unacceptable and needs to be stopped with more law enforcement. For another, it's just something to live with, and the problem would be actually more law enforcement. So what moral universe does Pritzker live in versus the moral universe that Trump lives in? The difference should cause us to ask some serious questions. I want to know why there's this difference, and I'd like to know who's right and who's wrong. Now, psychologists or sociologists would chalk this all up to different backgrounds, different social needs. One has a greater need for safety and security. Another person has a greater need for tolerance or whatever. But as Christians who believe that God has given us moral guidance in His Word, we recognize that this is what the Bible refers to on every page as the moral difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, between good and evil, between the lawful and the lawless. Psalm chapter 1, verse 6, there's the way of the wicked, and there's the way of the righteous, and that's very basic. And there's really no such thing as a moral equivalency here. People who are righteous gravitate toward groups and parties that are righteous, and those who are wicked gravitate toward groups and parties that are wicked. And for the righteous, a president who enforces the law is a blessing from heaven. He's fulfilling the Romans chapter 13 mandate that civil magistrates are to be God's avengers who bring wrath down on the one who practices evil. But for the wicked, a president who enforces the law and who's God's avenger and bring wrath down on those who practice evil is considered evil himself. He must be Hitler. He must be a hater. He must be a racist. He's the worst president ever. You know, they're like rebellious teenagers who say, I hate my mother and father because my parents won't let me do what I want to do and they have all these rules. And we know how prevalent that is among youth, but these teens grow up and become adults and continue to war against God and his civil authority. Now, concerning the way of the wicked, the scripture is clear that they despise the moral law of God. Psalm 50, which I've mentioned before and bears repeating, verse 16, but to the wicked God says, for you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. Notice the wicked will hate God's punishment and spurn his law. Just like the Old Testament character Cain, who killed Abel, and then Cain went on to say, my punishment is unfair. And according to Psalm 50, rather than being angry with thieves, the wicked commiserate with them. They see the thief as a victim. And this is the modus operandi of those who are unconnected from God. You know, this program is really so that Christians would become more aware of the nature of sin, both in themselves and in others. This program really isn't about what's happening in the political news. This program is about opening the trash can of human corruption and taking a big whiff so that a few more souls would be warned and turned to God for forgiveness and conversion. Here are some more teachable texts of Scripture. Psalm chapter 58, the wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lie go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. For they have rejected the law of the Lord, And they despise the words of the Holy One of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 8, 9, behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? Jeremiah 18, 12, each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil heart. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 26, but they became disobedient and rebelled against you, God, and cast your law behind their backs and killed your prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to you. And they committed great blasphemies. Well, the main biblical indictment against all of the wicked in all of these verses is the rejection of God's law, what the Bible calls lawlessness. And every Christian needs to be aware of the lawless spirit that's in the world, the spirit that Jesus said would proliferate in the last days. That's what we're seeing on the world scene today in the news. It's basically lawlessness. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says that he'll say at the judgment to the unsaved, depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Also 1 John 3, 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And as I've mentioned before, the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearing of his coming. Now, of course, the devil has his laws, and the Antichrist has laws. Karl Marx and communists had laws. But in that their laws call evil good and good evil, they're defined by God as being lawless, without true law. For any law that's not in accord with the law of God is no law at all. Here's a very informative verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Realize the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Notice that the condemnation of lawlessness is in accord with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Speaking out against lawlessness is part of gospel ministry. Now, there's a wrong version of Christianity that's very popular that believes that Christianity is simply about love, loving everyone and everything, that Christianity isn't at all about law enforcement, because as they see it, the text that says that Jesus will set the prisoner free means no bail, no jail. But in the early church, that was called the false doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which was an antinomian faith, meaning a faith without law. And the Nicolaitans taught that Christians didn't have to obey God's moral law because Christians are no longer under the law of God, to which Paul himself wrote, we are not without the law of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus speaks from heaven and says to the church of Ephesus, Revelation 2, 6, yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So there, Jesus commends those who hate lawlessness, even as God the Father commended Jesus for hating lawlessness and loving righteousness, Hebrews chapter 1. And while the righteous love to hear of law enforcement, the wicked hate it. Now, a whole program could be dedicated to covering those religious leftists who promote lawlessness in the name of Christ. And there are lots of churches and clergy that promote transgenderism and abortion and open borders and LGBTQ rights and big government. And these people hate conservative Christianity, because they have a different definition of Christ in Christianity, which is not in accord with the glorious gospel of the blessed God. It is really humanism disguised as Christianity. It's a support of human desires and feelings over the law and the authority of God. So just be aware of the false teachers out there who muddy the water. The true Christian position is that the state and the magistrates are called of God to punish criminal people. And we should be thankful for it. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26, a wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 28, loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds his throne by righteousness. So we want a president who makes lawbreakers feel very uncomfortable and even very angry. Also, Psalm 101, verse 8, King David writes, every morning I will destroy all the wicked of the land so as to cut off from the city of the Lord all who do iniquity, from Jerusalem. Psalm 104, verse 35, let sinners be consumed from the earth and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Psalm 58, 10, the righteous will rejoice when he sees vengeance on the wicked. He will wash his feet with the blood of the wicked, and men will say, surely there's a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges the earth. And Psalm 82 about the king. God takes a stand in his own congregation. He judges in the midst of the rulers. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. But what we have today is ungodly politicians that show partiality toward the wicked. They defend the wicked more than the innocent victim. In fact, they see the criminal as the innocent victim because they've been fed false teaching in universities, the teaching of humanism, that sin is never the fault of the sinner. That people only commit crimes because of the environment. Therefore, if there's crime in the inner city, it's not these people's fault. It's the fault of the system. It's the fault of poverty. It's the fault of some other ethnic group. Someone must be racist toward them. That's why they're doing drugs. That's why they're raping. That's why they're mugging. That's why they have broken homes. And this is a major key teaching in secular humanism, that sin is never the fault of the sinner. Sin is always someone else's fault. And how could you be so cruel as to shame people or to not affirm people? You make them feel so bad by telling them that they're sinners. And so therefore, with this kind of a false theology, sinners should not be punished. And this kind of false theology has worked its way into our courts and into our government and into our schools. So that now people talk about there needs to be restorative justice, not just justice, but restorative justice. That criminals need to be restored, not punished. But that is not a godly biblical truth. That's the position of Satan and Satan's kingdom. Now, yes, we need to preach the gospel to those who are in prison, so that they can be forgiven and saved for heaven. But as far as this world is concerned, criminals need to be arrested, stopped, and receive earthly punishment for their crimes. The ungodly hate President Trump because he believes in enforcing God's moral law against transgressors. And this is also why the ungodly despised Charlie Kirk, because he instructed people in the moral law of God, countering their natural sinful desires. The day before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, President Trump put out a two-minute video addressing the murder of that Ukrainian young woman on the train in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, because this came out on the day before Charlie Kirk was killed, it was overshadowed, but it does deserve our attention. I want to play this just so we get a sense of President Trump's worldview, what I believe is a God-given emphasis on law and justice.
For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people. Really, very, very innocent people. In every place, they control radical left judges, politicians, and activists, and they've adopted a policy of catch and release for thugs and killers. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. And here's a picture of it. This is the picture of it. And this is a picture of the woman, a beautiful young girl that never had problems in life, with a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead. She was slaughtered by a deranged monster who was roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing they understand. 24 of the top 25 most dangerous cities in America are run by Democrat mayors. 50 people were murdered in Chicago in recent weeks, with hundreds being shot. And it's time to stop this madness. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. We have proven that it can be done because we did it right here in D.C., in District of Columbia, the capital of America, was a bloodthirsty, horrible, dangerous place, one of the worst. And now it's a crime-free city, and we're going to keep it that way. It can be done. It can happen fast. All we want is, please, Mr. President, we need help. Chicago needs help. Other cities need help. We'll do what has to be done, because we're going to make America safe again. And that includes our big cities. We're going to make those cities safe. Thank you.
So to restate what Trump said, she was slaughtered by a deranged monster who is roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue to spread destruction and death through our country. We have to respond with force and strength. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. So who could argue with that? Well, there's a large majority of Americans who hate discipline and cast God's words behind them. Here's a clip that exposes how many people love lawlessness. A couple of weeks ago, thousands protested in Washington, D.C. against the president's crackdown on crime. And they chanted, "Free D.C." You know, years ago, nobody would have imagined this kind of a protest. People used to protest for more law enforcement. So here's this clip. Well, the law enforcement in D.C. rounded up about 1,500 career criminals who are terrorizing the city. So now in D.C., you can walk at night on the streets in safety. The murder rate is almost zero. But this is what these people are protesting. By the way, the reason this Charlotte, North Carolina murderer was not in jail due to his 14 prior arrests was directly related to false teaching concerning the doctrine of sin. That sin is really not the fault of the criminal, but he's a victim of racial prejudice. An investigative article by Megan Basham, North Carolina back in 2020 implemented criminal justice reforms on the basis of racial identity politics, and a task force called the Task Force for Racial Equality and Criminal Justice. And this was a program put in place by the North Carolina Attorney General, Josh Stein, who was supported by George Soros. Stein is now the governor of North Carolina. But it was these policies based on these theological lies that resulted in the death of this young Ukrainian woman. And this is where false doctrine, even false doctrine concerning the doctrine of sin, leads to the death of the innocent and the righteous. Now, the Bible teaches you are not to be partial in judgment. You shall judge the rich and the poor alike. You shall not show favoritism toward any group. It doesn't matter what a person's economic status is or their skin color. Even if one family group in a nation commits more crimes than another family group, that family group still needs to be punished. It will be the best thing that could ever happen to that family group. Here's another teachable event. President Trump also designated Antifa a terrorist group because of Antifa's violent practices. And this designation opens up all sorts of investigation and policing of Antifa. Of course, the media on the left objected. They support the rioting of Antifa against conservative events and speakers. Another watershed event was that President Trump used the military to blow up boats running drugs into the United States from Venezuela. At least three drug boats have been hit. You know, these drug runners were accustomed to merely being stopped, questioned, and then just turned around, but no longer. Now they're being taken out. Now that their activity is being designated as a foreign terrorist operation. And Maduro in Venezuela and China, these countries have actually been working to destroy the United States by importing fentanyl. How people have responded to these operations really exposes what they believe about justice and law. The leftist media is calling the targeting of these boats illegal because Trump is using the military, because these drug dealers aren't given due process, and third, because these alleged drug pushers ought not to get the death penalty. But legally, there's no due process for foreign combatants, whether they use bombs or drugs to kill Americans. And legally and biblically, Trump is not wrong in this. Capital punishment in the Old Testament was to be met out on those who would take or threaten the lives of others, even through getting people addicted to drugs that would cause them to die. 107,000 Americans die each year to drug overdose. 70% of that is due to fentanyl. Who's responsible for this? The cartels and the drug pushers. They have blood on their hands. We could stop all of these deaths and the illegal drugs tomorrow if we enforce capital punishment upon these producers. But that will probably never happen in America because people want their drugs. Revelation chapter 9, verse 21, they did not repent of their pharmakia. But at least we can start by executing those who are part of foreign cartels and governments, those that bring these poisons into our country deliberately. Well, in conclusion, I just hope we understand that the conflict in this world is between the lawful and the lawless. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, between those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus and those who do not. And here's a closing thought. In all of these prophecies about the coming Messiah, the emphasis was always upon his rule of righteousness. There are hundreds of prophecies I could cite, but notice Malachi chapter 4, the final verse in the Old Testament, the final promise of God to Israel. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all of the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, saith the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the sole of your feet on the day which I am preparing, saith the Lord of hosts. That's Christianity. And that's what God's people, the righteous, have longed for. justice and the ending of sin in themselves and in the world. And this teaching was behind Christian governments being governments of law enforcement. Righteousness is the belt around the Messiah's rule. He will rule with a rod of iron. So even America's founders would say that we're not a government of men, but we are a government of law. But you say, what about grace and forgiveness and mercy? Oh, yes, that's available, but only for those who repent. Psalm chapter 7, verse 11. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. And this is true Christianity. Lawless Christianity is the devil's counterfeit. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. Thanks for listening. May Jesus Christ reign.